Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for you are the word. And so, Father, we know that your word will judge in the last day. You are the judge. And, Father, we are the bride of the judge, so we know that there are laws that our husbands don't have to testify against us, which we're thankful for. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, that your blood would be sufficient. We know it is. And we're washed by the washing of the water of your word. So, Lord, we're getting ready. Just wanting to go home, Father. Our whole desire is not to stay here any longer than we have to, but to be in your presence. So, Lord, we just ask you to be with us this morning. And, Father, help us to understand the attributes and characteristics that identify your true vine versus the false vine so that we won't be deceived, because the Bible says we won't. So, Lord, we know that we won't, because we have your Holy Spirit. Thus, we have your mind. And, Father, we have your doxa. So, Lord, help us to lay in the presence of your word to ripen, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. This morning will be Satan's Eden, number 75. In the mini-series on twins, number 15. In the mini-mini-series under the identifiable characteristics, this will be part 4. And the thought we're going to look at this morning is loving God by loving his word. In other words, we prove our love through our love for his word. So this morning we're going to continue with our study of Brother Ram's sermon, Satan's Eden. And this morning we'll also continue with our mini-series on twins that developed this series, that developed from this study. And we've been looking at the identifiable characteristics that prove which seed, which is which, true vine or false vine. And always remember and never forget that Genesis 1:11 tells us undeniably that every seed must bring forth after its kind. This is a Bible truth that you must never forget, because if you do, you can be deceived. Because Satan will come to you even with God's word, so understanding the characteristics of true seed versus false seed will save you much trouble. We know Jesus told us in Matthew 24:24, for there shall rise false Christ, which makes them false is the word that they preach. They have a genuine anointing, but they are false because they teach false. And false prophets, it says. And what makes a false prophet? A false prophet is what he teaches is false. So a false prophet teaches false doctrine. And he says, and shall show great signs and wonders. And the word The word show means to minister, to bring forth or to render. So, and shall show or shall minister or bring forth or render. So because of the anointing, they have signs and wonders. But what makes them false is the word they teach. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So they will use the signs and wonders to show, or to make a show, actually, to give them some type of a support. They say, well, see, we're getting results, aren't we? So the deception comes because people look and see the signs and wonders that are genuine and do not listen carefully to hear what these men are not teaching. They are not teaching a vindicated message or one that has been vindicated by God. Remember, it's a one-man message. Our ministry as a fivefold must go through that one-man message to the Word. All right, we are to take what he said, take it back to the Word, show you by the Word so that there's no missing what he said. In other words, they bypass the Word of God and brings forth that God brings forth through a vindicated channel, which is his end time prophet. And by bypassing the vindicated truth, they present their own ideas as truth. And so Jesus tells us by this, all but the very elect will be deceived. Now, therefore, the true vine will love the true Word of God, because God is the Word. and the revealed and vindicated word for the season in which they live. So, from the mighty conqueror, and we're going to show you that the true vine loves God's word so much, it's just everything to her. But the false vine, they kind of like their own ideas. They like their own church programs and everything else. So, from the mighty God, mighty conqueror, Brother Matt said, I just love the word of God. I like to read it. There's something about it. It's so thrilling just to know that we're reading something that is eternal. You know, sometimes, and just not, I should probably finish a quote, but I'm going to just say, sometimes I get like a little kid, I get almost giddy. You know, I'm back in my study and the Lord is just opening things and I'm just ready to shout. And I just feel like a kid, you know, opening up a Christmas present. I just get almost giddy because it's so precious, you know, to us. So, all right. And God's word is just as eternal as he is. Any man, no man's any better than his word. And if I couldn't take your word, then we have no dealings then. You couldn't take my word, you couldn't trust me. And if we can trust, if we can take God's word, we can trust what he said to be true. And if we can't take it, then it's time for us to go and pray until God reveals it to us that he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You see, every time you see this red, every time you see that blue, that is God to you. It's his word. It's his expression. In 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. Now think about a crown. Where does a crown go? On the head, right? There is laid up for me a crown of right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. At that day, it's this hour. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. All right, so you've got to love that appearing in order to receive that crown, I call it the crowning of right wiseness. What's that? His doxa in your Zoe. All right, so we see this crown of righteousness is actually a crowning of right wiseness, which is a correct understanding, which comes upon all who love his appearing, which we know takes place by his parousia presence before the actual coming. Now let's go back to verse 1 and read what Paul is alluding here. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee, therefore, before God, or in the presence of God, that word before is emprosthen, it's a Greek word, it means in the presence of, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living, and the dead, when? At his appearing and his kingdom. Two things there. At his appearing, what? And his kingdom. In other words, when God comes to set up his kingdom, what's he doing? He's not looking for a place, he's looking for a people. You can't have a kingdom without a king and his people. Now remember, the word and is a conjunction tying two things together. So what we see tied together here is the appearing and the setting up of his kingdom. And he tells us that at the time he is here to set up his kingdom, it will be known as the Epiphaneia, which Brother Bram taught is his making his presence known in a supernatural way. The Epiphaneia simply means a shining forth. Pillar of fire there, shining forth. The cloud, shining forth. It's an illumination. What should I tell you? Something's going to be illuminated. What is it? Our minds, our hearts. You see? The Word of God. Now, from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, part 2, Brother Brown says, this is the close of the royal seed's waiting. Hallelujah. You royal seed. It's the close of our waiting. He's here. Why is the close of our waiting? He's here. The appearing of Christ. So you see, he ties the presence of God being here with the appearing of Christ. He tells us they are the same event. Then he continues, did you ever try to divide? There's a place in the Bible, you know, and I ain't got time to go into it. Says the appearing of Christ and then the coming of Christ. That's two different things altogether, the appearing and the coming. He's appearing now, working with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, making it just perfect, the church. It has to. And again, in his sermon, it is I be not afraid. He says, you know, there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different words altogether. Now, if these are two different words, now, it's not just because the prophet said they're two different words. Look them up. All right? If you understand the language, look it up. He says, these are two different words. Now, and if they are two different words, then they mean two different things. Yet, why do men teach these two different words as though they are just one event? There's an appearing before the coming. The appearing is the invisible God, the Holy Spirit, the pillar in the form of the pillar of fire here before the coming of the Son. You say, show me Bible. God came to Abraham before the promised Son came on the scene. There's your type. All right? Now, Brother Brown continues. He's appearing now in his church. I'm not talking about your building. Who is the church of God? It's a people. We see him. We know it's him. It's the Holy Spirit. See, we know it is. Now, we believe that the Holy Spirit is God. All of us know that, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We don't believe there's three gods. So he is here letting us know that the one that is here is God, who is a great Holy Spirit, so his great presence is here among us. And from his sermon from that time, Brother Branham once again shows us this difference between these two words, which means two different things, and thus speaks of two different events. He asks, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now is he appearing. The coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us. And how do we know that? He is appearing in the midst of us because he adds, doing the works that he once did in his church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by grace you believe, and I'm a member of that church. Now, I'm not a preacher. You know that I'm not. I've not the education to do it. Sometimes I feel reluctant standing here by men of God who's called to that office. There are apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all evangelists. I'm standing here, but my ministry is different ministry from a pastor or a teacher, and I'm not. And if I say things wrong, brother, forgive me, I don't mean it, but this is my ministry, see, to declare him that he is here. Now, I'd just like to say right now that even though I have been your pastor for 40 years, I'm not a pastor. I'm an apostle. That's what God called me to. But as an apostle, I have to have a church, home church, and so I pastor this church. I shepherd this church. That's why I don't have some of the attributes of a pastor. You know, take both sides, hold hands, you know, and all that sweet, sweet, sweet stuff. I don't have. That's not me. I'm an apostle. An apostle is a setter in order. We just had a brother contact me this morning from Pakistan. He's been contacting me for about a month or two now. And now he would like for me to start holding, I introduced him to the minister meetings we are having. And now he would like for me to have minister meetings with the Pakistan brothers as well. So you see, my ministry is not, it is not just, Brother Bell told me, he said, Brian, you'll never have a big church because your ministry is, or he said, your pulpit is the world. And that's exactly the way it has gone. That's not of my choosing, that's the way he chose it. I remember standing on the steps in Kentucky saying, I'll never go to Africa, I'll never go to Asia. And guess what? The Lord sends me to both places. And I didn't like the idea of doing it, but you know what? I said, Lord, forgive me for that attitude. I'll go wherever you want me to go. You know, just but you have to open the doors. And he's opened doors, many doors. And so he says, there are apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all evangelists. I'm standing here, but my ministry is different from a pastor or teacher, and I'm not. And if I say things, brother, forgive me, I don't mean it, but this is my ministry. This is my ministry, to declare him that he is here. Two things. To declare him and the fact that this one is declaring is here. So Brother Bram is not showing us the difference between the appearing and the coming, but he's telling us that it is his ministry to declare the one who's here. And not only that, but to also show us that he, Christ, is to be here among us. So we go back to 2 Timothy 4, where the Apostle Paul had told us that the appearing of Christ would take place. And when that is to take place, he told us what is to happen, what is supposed to happen at that time of this great appearing. Now, I know some people will say, well, you know, if you're an apostle, you should be gone. No, I've done gone, and I'm done going, and they're coming now. All right? I don't have to go because I can travel like a thought today, whereas before I had to get on a plane. I don't have to travel on a plane anymore. I'm traveling like a thought, and I'm having instant ministry meetings twice a month, perhaps now three times a month. I know the young people wanted to have another one a month. I just don't have, I want the pastors to take their own youth meetings. So, or maybe we can constrict Brother Justin to do that. I don't know. I don't want to put anything on you there. All right. So, anyway, so he said, preach the word. Be instant in season. You see, the Apostle Paul was an apostle, but he was a pastor of Ephesus. And yet, the Apostle Paul is no longer with us, but his work is still with us. William Branham was a prophet of God to the age. He's no longer with us. He cannot be the pastor of the tabernacle because he's not there. And yet, he's a prophet of the age. So we still have his ministry with us. The same with Brother Vail. He said, I'm not a pastor. He said, I'm a teacher. And yet, we still have his ministry with us. I would think when a pastor leaves the scene, his work is finished. And another pastor comes in and takes the place. But not so with an apostle, a prophet, or a teacher. Their work is different. It's universal. All right, now, for the time will come, and he told me in 1983, spoke to me just as clear as I could hear, not audibly, right here, and he said, I want you to start putting your sermons down word for word. One day they will be read all over the world. We have almost 2,700 of my sermons in 15 languages. That's, to me, the fulfillment of what he told me. All right? So, those, if God were to take me off the scene, those sermons will still be here. And they will still help people. So, Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Now you think about that. What does it mean, in season, out of season? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Who? The people having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers that will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So we see that this will be a time of great deception because people will have veered away from doctrine and would rather listen to stories and fables. Now, already we have read where Brother Branham read from this, and he said, this is my ministry to declare the one who is here and show you that he is indeed here. In fact, William Branham placed his scripture in the cornerstone of his church when he laid the cornerstone because he said this was his commission. So he received his commission not only from God, but through the words written by God through the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4. Spiritual food in due season. He said, now how many remembers my commission when we built the tabernacle here? He said, do the work of an evangelist. Didn't say I was an evangelist. Said, do the work of an evangelist. See, for the hour will come when that's to be changed. And that hour is arriving. All right. Now, in this, and you can't mix two or three different ministries together, pastor and evangelist, the same time. Why? Because a pastor is here, evangelist is on the road all the time. You can't do the two. You can't be a prophet and maybe a pastor at the same time. See, even though he was pastor of the tabernacle, he turned that over to Brother Neville when he went into that prophetic, you know, the prophetic ministry and the, you know, the seals and all that. Okay, you can't be a prophet and maybe a pastor at the same time. See, because you have different works and different ministry. But the Lord gave me what I should do in my message. The message never changed when he was pastor to when he became full endued in that prophetic ministry. The message didn't change. But then he said, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry, for the hour will arrive when they will not endure sound doctrine. If that hasn't come now, every church denomination has turned me down. They wouldn't endure sound doctrine. Why do the denominations turn him down? The doctrine. Why do they not know that they turned him down in churches that claim to believe the message? Because they turned down the doctrine. It's the same denominational spirit. They come in from a church where they were apostolic and they preach apostolic until they die. And they're all. But after their own lusts, their own desires, their own thinking, They'll bring with their own teacher, they'll bring their own teachers in, and they'll be turned into fables. And they will do great things of exploits like Jannes and Jambres that withstood Moses, but their folly will be made manifest. See, all right, impersonations. You see how Jambres. And God in heaven knows that lays right there in the corner of the tabernacle since 1933, wrote on the page of the Bible, laying right there. Look how they've done it. Look what's come to pass. Impersonations, just exactly. You say, in this message, yes, in this message. A brother Collins told me some of the big shots. Byrd had a book burning of the church age book before Brother Branham was even gone off the scene. When it had just been introduced, and they took it and they burned it. He said he was invited to the burning. He went to Brother Branham and told him. And God in heaven knows that lays right there in the corner of the tabernacle since 1933, wrote on the page of the Bible, laying right there. Look how they've done it. Look what's come to pass. Impersonations, just exactly, said, let them alone. Their folly will be made known in the same manner as Jannes and Jambres was. Here we are in that day. I've seen the church then when he was just laying the cornerstone, people hanging in the sills and all around, standing around the walls of the tabernacle. Now, let's go back to what the Apostle Paul was saying here and how it lines up perfectly with the ministry of William Branham, which God gave him this word to identify this ministry, his ministry. But watch thou in all things. That's what a prophet said. My ministry is not like others. I sit back, I watch things develop. God takes me back to the Word, and I see it. When you understand Alpha and Omega, Brother Branham said the very first doctrine he ever learned was that whatever took place in the first church age must take place in the last, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, nothing in between. All right, he's not the in-between. He's first and the last. In other words, what he did in the beginning, he has to do at the end. But watch thou in all things. And when you see things developing in the world, and you see that spirit, and you ask yourself, what is that? You go back to the Alpha, and you see the same thing. Now you've got a tag, and you can put that tag on what you're seeing. That helps you not to be deceived. You see exactly what's happening. That's why before the pandemics even came, I was preaching that the pandemics were coming. Because a vindicated prophet of God told us they would come. And yet most churches will tell you, go ahead and get the jab. Excuse me, I might probably get struck for this. Go ahead and do it. And for why? Because they're not listening to a vindicated prophet. And I've been preaching this since 97, that it was coming. So, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, rightwiseness, excuse me, but thou, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Okay? So, we have got to love his appearing if you are to receive the crown of rightwiseness, which is a crowning of rightwiseness, which is, and what is rightwiseness? It is a crowning of the embodiment of the doxa of God in your life. His opinions, his values, his judgments. All right? Now, let me just read these verses of Scripture from the Amplified Version. All right? The Amplified Version puts it this way. I solemnly, what does it mean to be solemn? Very reverent, very sincerely. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is a judge, who is to judge the living and the dead. And what did we read you last week? Jesus said, my word will judge in the last days. So who's standing at the door knocking? The word. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word as an official messenger. That's what the Amplified says. And that's what William Branham's commission was. Preach the word. He doesn't say that in the King James Version. He just says, preach the word. But the Amplified goes into what the actual Greek was. It says, as an official messenger, preach the word. In other words, you come with thus saith the Lord. There you are, Brother Branham's commission identified in Scripture. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome, correct those who are in error in doctrine and behavior. I think I've had more people leave this church by the corrections of the behavior than I have of the corrections of the doctrine. People say, oh, we believe the doctrine, but they can't stand it when I talk about a parent delinquency instead of juvenile delinquency. Warn those who sin. Remember, sin is unbelief. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors that they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions like Two Souls, Seven Thunders, all those things that try to make people different. And will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. But as for you, be clear-headed in every situation. Stay calm and cool and steady. Endure every hardship without flinching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure from this world is at hand. And I will soon go free. I have fought the good fight, and worthy and notable fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding the gospel against error. In the future, there is reserved for me the victor's crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right. How do you receive your crown? Being right with God and doing right, having a right mind. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will judge me, or will award me on that great day. And not to me only, but also all those who have loved and longed for and welcomed his appearing. You see, he comes to those who are looking for him. So you see, that crown is laid up not only for the Apostle Paul, but for all those who love, long for, and welcomed the appearing of the Lord. So you've got to love it, my brothers and sisters, to receive that crown. All right? So the ministry of the true fivefold is to take the Word of God and show the day and the hour in which we live, which is spiritual food in due season. Ephesians 4:11 tells us, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the bringing into maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up and finishing off of the body of Christ. Not building buildings. Building a bride. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, I am your personal trainer. You know, we have that in the world today. They want to get physical and strong. They have a personal trainer. I'm your spiritual trainer. I'm your personal trainer. Okay. So, it's for the building up so that you become strong, so that you don't need me. You need God and His Word. That's it. And because when you're fixated on God and His Word, you're not looking at any vessels. You're looking only to God and His Word. All right? Until we all come in the unity of the faith. What's the faith? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And always remember, there's only one Lord, one faith, and this one faith is the revelation of that one Lord. And he says, to come to that unity of this one faith, you must understand the relationship that God had with his Son, because he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and conjunction, linking two things, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete man, unto the measure of the stature, the character of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, you cannot come to the unity of the faith unless you know and acknowledge the Son of God. Many people who claim to believe this message are apostolic. They are oneness. They believe that God and Jesus are one like your fingers one. They have no understanding how the Son is obedient to the Father. The Son yielded himself to the Father, and thus all sons come in that pattern, after that pattern, and learn to yield themselves. Well, as long as you're just looking at a oneness, you could be a Muslim and be oneness. You know that? You'd be a Jew and be oneness, and reject the very God who dwelt in his Son, the very Word that became manifested. They reject the manifested Word. Oh, they claim to believe their Bibles, and they claim to believe their dogmas, but they reject the very manifestation of the life of God in his Son. And until people come to the knowledge of the Son of God, they'll never come to a perfect and complete man. Because if you're only preaching, even if you're preaching Father, Son, Father, and it's not for sons, you never come to that completion yourself. Because you say, well, it's good for one man. One man did it, and I'm counting on that. No, I'm sorry. This is the hour that he comes to judge every man and reward them according to the works done in their flesh. Every man. Under the measure of the stature, the character of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. It's growing up time. So the Apostle Paul is talking about when we are no longer little children, but we have grown up into Christ as fully mature sons and daughters of Christ. And that is why he also talked in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, saying the same thing. He said, for we know in part, that's right, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and God is perfect and he is the Word. And we have, Brother Brown said, we have today but God's grace, the perfect interpretation of his Word. So when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What's the in part? When you come to be a fully mature adult, don't act like a child any longer. That's what he goes on. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Because I understood as a child. And that is because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Childish thinking, childish speaking, childish pranks. All this childish nonsense. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then when? When the perfect Word comes, then we will see face to face. When? When that which is perfect is come, when Christ the Word appears at the appearing. Now I know in part, but then when? At the appearing of Christ shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Why is the greatest love? And I've taught this ever since I was just a young minister, 29 years old. You have faith, which is an earnest, or you have faith, which is a revelation. You have hope, which is an earnest expectation. You see, if you have faith, true faith, it will bring hope. It will bring an earnestly expecting what that faith is. And what is love? It is the outward manifestation of that revelation. For God so loved the world, he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. That love is a putting into practice. It is a putting into a manifestation of this, that revelation that you have. Abraham so loved God, even though he loved to have, he wanted, longed for a son, he was willing to give that son back to God. Hallelujah. Are we willing to give God back the things that we hold dearest? To show him that we love him even greater. All right. And Jesus told us how that we will know that we love him. He said, if you love me, you will keep my word. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, Father and Son, Word and manifested Word, will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, you then will become manifested Word as well. From his sermon, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Brother Brown says, this is a sacred order of the church. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, that wasn't me that said that. That was Jesus Christ who said that. Now, the first thing you must do is surrender yourself entirely to Christ and surrender your mind to his Word. Lord, I won't act upon my own feelings, upon my own thoughts. I will only act upon your word. I'll have no control of my own thoughts concerning it. I will act upon your word. Now get that straight. Now you're not to go down and say, well, I've lost my healing. If you do, brother, it'll be worse than ever if you make this committal. You're to stand right now. Remember, just like coming into the church, you are supposed to make this committal and say, Lord God of heaven, I'll stand by your word, so help me till the last drop of blood's left in my body or breath. See? From the Amplified Version, we read from John 14:23. Jesus answering said, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. And we know the teaching is a doctrine, as Jesus said in John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. In John 7:16, Jesus answering said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak it of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrightwiseness, no incorrect thinking is in him. Okay, remember John said, brother, you have an anointing, and you know all things. Alright, so we are looking at the fivefold ministry who teach what Jesus taught. His doctrine, which he received from his Father, and this teaching of the doctrine of Christ brings with it a maturity into the children of God, who then are no longer children, tossed to and fro, he says, and carried about with every wind of man's doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak, notice, who's lying in wait to deceive? Men. Every wind of doctrine, where's it coming from? Men. It's not God's doctrine. It's men's doctrine. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And then tells us, how do we grow up into him? It's not that we become him. It's we grow up, the body grows up to fit, he says, which is the head, even Christ. The body grows to fit the head. So the doctrine allows the body of Christ to grow up into the head, which is Christ, to conform to the image of the firstborn Son. So you see how the true vine will love his word, because it does not it does so much to help them to grow up into Christ. And that produces in us what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unpretentious love, which is a genuine love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, no motives, no falsehoods. Like a minister told me at a wedding one time, he said, yeah, we have a sister in our church, and she likes to bring things, and she's not the cleanest woman in the world, so when she likes to bring food for us. And so we didn't know what to do, so I thought, well, why don't you just be honest with her? Might hurt a little bit. But when he said, so, you know, my wife and I decided we got a garbage can, and we wrote on it, spot. And so whenever the sister says, how was that cake that I made for you? They say, well, it hit the spot. That's pretentious. That's feigned love. You know, I would rather a person kind of be an old grouch, but true as true can be, than put on the, Lord bless you, my brother, my sister, and talk out of two sides of their mouth. Again in John 14:23, Jesus tells us, if we love him, it will show in our loving his word. And you know what? It'll show in our loving of the brethren. Jesus answered, said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. All right, now from his sermon, Desperation, Brother Branham quotes what we just read Jesus tell us. And he says, John 14:23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now, you can't keep his words without having faith in what he said. So you see, if he loves God, then he keeps God's word. If he said, I'm the Lord that heals thee, he that believes that, love makes him believe it. Because love dominates all. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, it's nothing. See, though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it's nothing. Love dominates all because God is love. a God of love. Now, yes, sir, if Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Let us go back to verse 21. He says, he that echoes my commandments and keepeth them and holds on to them. Not only echoes them, but holds on to them. You see, you can echo and kind of get to get rid of, you know. But when you echo and you live it, John said, he that echoes, he echoes the Son, echoes the life of the Son. Well, he that echoes my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, proving his word, Brother Brown tells us, people will come right up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll come right up to that word. They'll come right up through all denominations, all churches, and all catechism and everything. But when it comes to that word, that crossing line, they say, oh, I don't know about that. My church doesn't teach it that way. I don't care what your church teaches. The Bible says it's that way. Then you say, how do I know it's right? He confirms it and he proves it. 1 Thessalonians 2:10-12. You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how that we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as the Father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his righteous or his kingdom and glory. All right. And because we love him, we come to him. And he is the Word. We cannot help but to come into his presence, the presence of him who is the Word. We love to be in his presence and will come to the light, the revealed Word, and do not walk in darkness. We would rather take the correction from the Word than to offend our Father in any detail. From Isaiah 60:3, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Psalm 56:13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. John 3:21. And he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be made manifest that they are sourced in God. In other words, I only do that which is pleasing to my Father. Might not be pleasing to you unless you do all things that are pleasing to the Father. Then you will know what is pleasing to the Father. See, a lot of people don't think it's pleasing to the Father when you preach doctrine and you preach righteousness. They might say they can take the doctrine because it's an intellectual conception they have. But they won't take the scolding of the deeds, the scolding of the word. Now, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, the very purpose you're here, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were sourced in God. John 12:46, I am come, I light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, not was in the light, he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The closer you come to the light, the brighter you become, the more washed you become. Like the woman there was a story I read one time, and I know I shouldn't get into a story, but this will help you. And there's a woman who came to church, and the minister was very much a kind of a dogmatic person. And he said, sister, I didn't notice you in service on Sunday. And she said, well, I was there. Well, what did I preach on? She goes, come on, give me some scripture. What did I say? I don't know. I don't remember. Well, how can you sit there in church and you don't remember what I said? And she says, pastor, she said, you see, I'm laying these. She was out doing her wash, and she was laying her wash after she had washed it. She was laying it on the hillside. She said, you see these sheets that I have out here? Yeah, what about them? Well, she said, they just lay in the presence of the sun, and they get whiter and whiter and whiter. I don't expect you all to be theologians. I do expect that the light will make your lives whiter, whiter, whiter. Wire. because we are washed in the washing of water by the Word. We are clothed in the Word. He said there'll be no spot or wrinkle. It's just washed. Hallelujah. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, in His presence, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. Only one true living church, he says, just since we've been talking, a lovely, sweet, kind feeling comes over you. Is that right? If it is, raise your hand. All right. Now, what that is, that's the angel of the Lord contacting. There's something wrong with you, and I am a servant. Just as that wire is in the light, is a servant to the light, but it isn't the wire. It's the electricity going through it that makes the light. The wire cannot make no light. Neither can I know what's wrong with you or have any light to you. It's His Spirit that you now feel that brings the light. As I mentioned many times, the same faith you have to do your finances. Some people are very good at their finances, but they maybe have trouble with healing. The same faith that you have for your finances, apply it for your healing. The same light that turns on this light is illuminating the screen from the computer. You're reading it. Same light, same that runs through the wires there. The same light that you, or same electricity you can hear blowing the fans that's cooling the building. It's the same electricity. It's the same energy. And the same energy of God that's good in our life for one thing is good for the other. As Brother Brown said, I am not the light. I'm only the wire. I'm only the vessel. You see, why does a fan turn over your head when the electricity comes through, and yet in this and this, that light, it illuminates? Well, there's a wire in there, and that in that light, there's a certain wire that when the electricity goes through, it's made to do a certain thing. It's made to illuminate. But the fan is not made to illuminate. The fan is made to blow, to cool you down. So you look at your individual characteristics in your life, and the Holy Spirit in you will cause you to do a certain thing. Some people are tremendous prayer warriors. They know what to pray, and they know how to pray, and they yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them and prays through them. Other people are very good at sharing. Other people are very good at helping others in time of need. But it's the same electricity, the same energy of God that does it in you and you and you. It's the same God all the way through. So, Brother Ransom, it's the electricity going through it that makes the light. The wire cannot make no light. Neither can I know what was wrong with you or have any light to you. It's this Spirit that you now feel that brings the light. From a man that can turn on the light, says, and the Word is what guides you to the light, and the light's what makes the Word vindicated. Amen. Again, from Investments, he said, Father, we know that no man can come unless you draw on him first. Jesus said so. And we believe that every foreordained seed that lays in this city now, there is no way to keep them from receiving the light of God. You will grant it, Lord. You will watch over it to be sure it gets there. Your presence, you present the message, and I believe that you're able and will bring those to the light of the gospel who you've ordained to see it. Now, that's your true vine. Ordained to see it. And when God touches you in that way, it brings you to the message. It brings you to the Word. It brings you to the correction. It brings you to the instructions of the Father. That's what the word Torah is. Instructions of the Father. But the false vine, they do not come to the light, and they try to keep others from entering into that light. In John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light in a greater measure than they love light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why do you think cockroaches and all these things come out at night? They don't want to expose where they are. All right? Now, from the mark of the beast, Brother Anderson, when the light first dawned on the early church of Ephesus, well, we remember a scene that taking place. The light of God brought through Jesus Christ by the first pouring out of the Holy Ghost. He gave light to all the world and wrote the Bible. Is that right? Now, he promised on the Western world, the sun rises in the east at the beginning of the dispensation of grace, and now the sun is setting in the west on the Western people. We are the Western people. And he promised that there would be a revival and there would be light in the evening time. And they're here. The lights are shining. And darkness comprehended it not. That's it. Men love evil deeds better than they do good deeds. But it's just fixing to drop over the horizon yonder. And what little light we got, hold on to it. Look, it's the same sun that rose yonder on the Jews are setting here on the Gentiles. All through the age here, through these 2,000 years, they had this and that and organizations and dispensations and this and that. And people don't want, people don't know where they're standing. And that is a problem we are seeing even among those churches who claim to be following the light of this hour. They are not focused on what the message is, but rather they are focused on their position and their rank among those who follow the light. In other words, where does this church stand amongst the other churches in the message? How are we ranked? That's exactly, I know you're, that's exactly what's out there. Like Jesus said to Peter, when he got his eyes off of Jesus and on John, and Jesus said, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Get your eyes off of John. Get your eyes off of any church. Even off the messenger himself. And get your eyes on the word, the message that the messenger brought. It wasn't William Branham who descended with a shout. It was God. We had a faithful and yielded servant of God, older brother, who told us what the Lord said thus. Thus saith the Lord is what the Lord said thus. But who said it? The Lord said it. It's not what William Branham said. The Apostle Paul said, if you speak anything other than what I've taught, you're cursed. Well, we could take this Bible and we could say, like the doctrine that goes out there and says you can only listen to one voice, William Branham, and we could say, just a minute. The Apostle Paul said, if we preach any other thing than what he preached, we're cursed. So, don't have a preacher. Don't have a minister of any sort. Just read your Bible. And just read Paul. Don't have to read Peter and James and John. Just read Paul. And we'd have a twisted up theology. Because the same one who said, if you preach any other thing than what I preach, also said God set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the church. And they say, well, William Branham is all five of them. No, William Branham was not all five of them. He said he wasn't. So either say what's on the tapes or don't say what's on the tapes, right? All right. The same Moses who said, if you add one word or take one word from what I'm telling you, you're cursed, is the same one who said in Jesus, in the book of Revelation, to add one word, take one word, you're cursed. Same one that Paul said, if you add one word, take one word, you're cursed. So Paul had to be preaching what Moses preached, had to be preaching what Jesus preached. And William Branham said, say what's on the tapes, only what's on the tapes. He had to be saying, and he also said, I only taught what Paul taught. So it wasn't William Branham's message. It was God's message through Moses, Jesus, Paul, William Branham. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now from his sermon, to whom shall we go? Brother Branham said, if we are born again, we are the children of the day. The children of the world walk in darkness. They walk at nighttime. They love darkness. The Bible said the men love, people love darkness more than they do light because the light would manifest their deeds. Let the sun come up and every old lizard, every old bug, insects of the dark kingdom crawls at night, will take under something. That's the same way when the gospel light begins to shine, every evil deed will try to crawl under something. Oh, they say, well, we got light because we live at nighttime. If you walk in the light at nighttime, you're walking under an artificial light. There's only one true daylight, and that's the sunlight. There's only one true Christian light, And that is the light of the Son of God. It's the only true light. And from John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. How many of you have ever been in somebody's house or traveling and you're in a hotel room and you want to get up at night, but you don't know even which direction to go where the bathroom's at? So you have to kind of feel around, or if you're smart, you'll just leave the light on the bathroom, crack the door a little bit, so you have a little bit of light to guide you, because light guides. All right? And he says, Scripture, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And remember, the true light, the true fivefold, will enlighten you with the light of the hour. And you will know the word, and the word will set you free. But right after Paul speaks of the fivefold ministry and their ministry to bring the children to maturity and to develop such a love in the elect children that they will love to be where the word is, but the false vines fivefold will prevent those who wish to enter from going in. I had a chance to talk to a pastor recently, and he was telling me about how he didn't care much for Brother Vail, and I said, well, because, you know, you probably believed he preached this thing. Yeah, I did. He said he didn't preach it. I could take it right to the tape. We call it a fallacy. Well, but he was friends with this person here. I said, no, at the end of their ministries, that guy turned on him. You see? Well, you know, I said, listen, did you ever hear him preach? Did you ever meet him? No. Then you have no right to speak. You have no right to give an opinion of somebody that you've never met, unless you heard it for yourself. You see, Jude tells us, you know, that they speak evil of things they know not. But they're passing along, you know, it's just a bunch of gossip. It's like they do with Brother Branham. It's just a bunch of gossip. Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. You see, you become a preventive instead of a help, a hindrance instead of a builder-upper. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. What's ungodliness? What is godliness? Godliness is godlikeness. So if the wrath of heaven is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, it is against all that are ungodlike and unrightwiseness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold is kateko, and it's a Greek word which means to hold down the truth. How do you hold something down? You prevent it from coming forth. After having read the Ephesians 4:11-16 earlier, where the Apostle Paul spoke of the true fivefold ministry of God that he set in the church in order to oversee the growing up and maturing of the children, we also see the results of those who oppose the true ministry of these servants of God. So let's continue on reading in Ephesians 4:17. So this I say and solemnly affirm together with the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the unbelieving Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds, and in the foolishness and emptiness of their souls. For their understanding becomes darkened, and their reasoning becomes clouded. And that is because they have alienated and self-banished themselves from the life of God and will not share in it. Brother Vail said, people say, well, Brother Branham, when he said this, you know, it's just muddy. He said, no. What he said is pure. But you got a muddy mind. And because your mind is muddy, what you're hearing is pure water. Look, you take mud that's even hardened, and you pour pure water on it. What do you got? You got mud. So you can take the light of the glorious presence of God, the Word of God, which is pure, and put it into a muddy, or run it through a muddy filter, and you're going to get sludge. This, and that's what he says here. For their understanding becomes darkened and their reasoning becomes clouded. And that is because they have alienated and self-banished themselves from the life of God and will not share in it. This is from the Amplified Version. And this is because of the willful ignorance. The willful ignorance. See, it's one thing to be ignorant, which means you didn't know. There's an innocence, certain innocence to that. But willful ignorance is that you have been given an opportunity to know and you turn it down for your ignorance. Like the woman who said to Brother Bell, well, you know, I don't understand, therefore I'm not going to be held accountable. He said, no, sister, you got it wrong. You're going to be held accountable. Therefore, you had better understand. People are just lazy. They don't want to know. All right? And this is because of the willful ignorance and spiritual blindness that is deep-seated within them, because of the hardness and insensitivity of their heart. And they, I could make a comment here, and I think I will. Look at how the world is pushing for a sensitivity toward people that are perverted. But they are insensitive toward God and His Word. They want you to be sensitive toward their feeling, but they can throw terrible words in your direction and not even care about your feelings toward the Word of God. All right? So, because of the hardness and insensitivity of their heart, their understanding, and they, the ungodly, in their spiritual apathy, having become callous and unfeeling, have given themselves over as prey to unbridled sensuality, eagerly craving the practice of every kind of impurity that their desires may demand. But you did not learn Christ in this way. In fact, if you have really heard Him and have been taught by Him, just as truth is in Jesus Christ, revealed in His life and personified in Him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self completely, discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through the deceitful lust, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, God-like, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation, therefore rejecting all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, any such as these. Therefore, in love, speak truth each one to his neighbor, for we are all parts of one another, and we are all parts of the body of Christ. Instead of looking for the wrong, take time to listen to what the person is saying. I know I've said this many times, but men and women don't think alike. Men are content to look in one box, and that's all they're interested in, is that one box, and they can't look at two or three boxes at a time. We don't focus that way. A man can go to his easy chair and sit back, and the wife can say, what do you think about, honey? Nothing. Because he's not thinking about nothing. He's chilling. A woman is not made that way. She's cooking and she's cleaning and she's thinking about this child and about this person over here and this and this and this. And her mind, like the little video I showed you at Brother Justin and Christina's wedding, is her mind is like a bunch of wires going, you know, all over. But he doesn't. And the biggest trouble in any marriage or any communication with a man between a woman is that the woman will be thinking this and talking this, and the man, he takes a while to catch on to what she's saying. Well, by then she's already changed the subject. She's talking about this. And so when he says what she's talking about over here, she says, no, you're lying to me. No, I'm sorry, but I'm still back on what you said over here. I'm not talking about what you're here. I haven't got that far yet. You women have to be careful about that, because you can throw out accusations when it's just completely unfounded. You're thinking in boom, 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 and he's trying to catch up to what you said here, to fathom, what is she talking about? What she's saying doesn't register with me. I've got to twist my, you know, I've got to get into her mind, but I can't when she's here, and she's here, and she's here, and she's here, because I'm just still focused on what she's saying here, and all of a sudden she's here, 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 and then she makes comment here, and you say, no, I don't, I don't, I no, I didn't. No, I didn't what? Now she calls you a liar because you didn't what here, but you didn't even hear that. You're still focused on what she said over here, and you didn't do that what she said here, but you might have done what she said over here, but you're still over back in here. Women, you need to understand that. That's a fact of life. All right, so question and answer. Now watch the pattern. I'm taking a lot of time, but look, Judas Iscariot followed those same tracks. He was justified by believing on the Lord Jesus and then accept Him as his personal Savior. He was sanctified and given power to cast out spirits, put his name on the Lamb's Book of Life, but when it come to Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the word, he showed his colors. That's exactly what the Canaan spies did. That's exactly what Esau had done. That's exactly what Satan done to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Surely God will not, but he said, God said. He said, yeah, I know that says that. I know it says this, but surely. See, the same thing all the way down through, and so is it today. The church has fallen through justification, Luther through sanctification, Wesley, but when it comes to the time of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they show their colors. They want nothing to do with it. Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Church of God, all those who believe in sanctification, you can't lay a finger on it. It's the truth. But when it comes to a borderline, come right up to that spot to receive the Holy Ghost for the new birth, then what did the devil do? Come around and try to twist it around. Oh, he will do everything that's in his known power to keep people out of there. And they say, well, you have to speak with tongues. You have to have a sensation. You have to do this. You have to be born into it. Don't let no one tell you that sanctification and the Holy Ghost is the same thing, because it's not. It certainly is not. From Isaiah 15, verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. But this you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, you've got genuine light or you've got artificial light. Where are you going to walk by? 1 John 5 and 6. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know when you're living in a hypocritical state. You know that when your prayers to God are not being answered, because you won't answer if you've got iniquity in your heart. Now, for the power of transformation, he said, notice now, Eve just had to take a little peep to see what the world looked like. You know, a lot of times we have to do it, just wear a little bit of this, or, oh, you know what I mean. Just have to take a little bit of a peep to see. Now, St. John, or 1 John 2:15, God said, if you love the world, or even the love of the world, the love of God's not even in you. The things that's out there are dead. You're circumcised. You're cut off from it. You don't want the things of the world. You're dead to. They're dead. You don't want anything dead. It's rotten. It smells. How could a living something want something that's filthy like that? See, you're alive in Christ. The Word makes you alive. From the mark of the beast, he says, and we're getting ready to close. Why do you want to wear clothes like that? Now, I'm talking to you women, because I see you letting your kids on the street and act like that. And you yourselves are. What in the world do you want to wear clothes like that for? I don't care how much religion you're supposed to have. That shows in your heart what's coming out. That shows exactly what you're made out of. Why? You've deafened your ear to the real gospel of liberation. That's right. You are marked by the Antichrist acting like him. The fruits of your life proved what you are. And you men, because you let her do it, it shows who your God is. It shows what you've done. That's gospel. That's the word. Now, who's got the mark of the beast? So close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. Can't you see, friends, that apple trees bear apples, pear trees bear pears? What in the world does a woman that's supposed to be a child of God want to dress like that? And I'd just like to add something. When you see these people, and I'm not talking about you people, I'm talking about you get amongst these mega churches, these big churches, the women, you know, they have their ears pierced and then you see their little 2 and 3 year old children and they pierce their ears and they say, oh, they wanted to be that way. No, you wanted them to be that way. What little child that's a little boy wants to be a girl. But it's a perverted mother that says, oh, you know, my little Johnny, he wants to be a girl. So they go and they say, you can perform surgery on him and it can never be changed back. You see the perversion in their minds? That is the mark of the beast in them. It's in their mind. It goes into their actions. That's what he's talking about. You say, well, that don't they don't make blouses and clothes. Oh, they don't? You go to a sewing machine. You got a sewing machine? Some of you have? It's because that down in your heart, trying to hold it over with a religious crust, you've listened to the devil. That's right. And maybe your pastor's guilty for not telling you that, and that's right. In closing, let me just read carefully from 1 John 5, and we're going to see how the true vine, those born of God's Spirit, will love the Word and echo it, and thus echo the very life of the Word. But those who are not of God will just continue to do what they're doing. As it says in Psalm 1 and 6, God watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word perish is abad. It means to just leave to themselves. So in 1 John 5, we read, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you later on what Brother Branham says about this. Because you cannot believe in him until he is in you believing. That's what he said. I'm going to read to you. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which is our revelation. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that cometh, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, echoes the witness where? In himself. Who is a witness? He just told us earlier. God, the Holy Spirit, is a witness. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed the report, the record that God gave of his Son. What was that record? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. John 5:26. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. How do you know that you have eternal life? Because you're echoing. You're echoing. It's coming out of you. That's God. Like I told my granddaughter when she was worried about it, she says, you know, we're talking in school today about whether we're saved or not. She says, Father, Papa, do you believe I'm saved? I said, yes. I said, we've had these talks and you've committed yourself to Christ. You've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God promised you if you would, he'd fill you with the Holy Ghost. Well, then how do I know that I've got the Holy Ghost? I said, well, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll lead you into all truth. I said, have you ever been going to do something, you planned to do something, and then you're stopped because the word came to you? She said, yeah. I said, what happened? Well, I was going to steal some of Daddy's candy. And the scripture came to me and said, thou shalt not steal. I said, Ella, that was the Holy Ghost in you. The word. You see, when you try to make the Holy Ghost something different from the word, now you're in confusion. He is the word. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's his word speaking to you. You see? There's your evidence now. These things have I written to you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is a confidence that we have in him. Alright? I want confidence. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. I don't know how many times we had answered prayer on this trip. Things would take place and we just pray. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that we should pray for it. All unrighteousness or unrightwiseness is sin, is unbelief. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God disbelieveth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now from oneness, Brother Matt said, Jesus said, go to the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe in me, not on me, but in me. Being in him, believing. Well, who is he? He's the Word. Being in him, believing. If you abide in me and my words in you, my word in you, in him, believing. Oman. I hope the Holy Spirit gets that right down to you. Now, you're the little flock. That's why through the week, praying and asking God, I chose this text to show you where we stand. Believing in him. You cannot believe in him until you come in him, or he comes in you. Then you're believing in him. Then you have eternal life. You're believing on him until you receive eternal life. Then eternal life is God's life in you. Then you're believing in him. Ye in me, I in you, that they may be one, Father, as you and I are one. God in Christ, Christ in the church, see, just as we are one, so they be one. Then how can we be one? If you abide in me and my word is in you, see, my word in you, then ask what you will, for it's not you no more, it's the word that's in you, and the word is God. This power is in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, with every fiber of our body. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be in you, believing, and you in us, believing. That's all we ask. Because if you are in us, then sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so when that little still voice says, don't do that, or, oh, go pick up that piece of paper, don't litter. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't say, well, I'll just get back to it later. No, we say, okay, right now. You're saying to me right now, you are the I am. So I should bend over, pick up that piece of paper that I just dropped. That's your Holy Spirit talking to us. Because we are commanded not to, you know, he that destroys the earth, God will destroy him. So Father, just help us be sensitive. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Then we have fellowship one with another. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then if we be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to us. And knowing that it is you that worketh in us, both to will and to do, then may we be seeking out your will before we do. And that way we know that we are doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Because the will of God is the word of God. All right. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed.